There are many things about God that we don't even know. I think you said something about that a while ago. And it is wonderful and glorious indeed to know what we do know. But we'll never find Him out completely. And that's why eternity is not going to be a problem. Somebody said, what are you going to do up there all that time? Well, I don't know whether it's up there or over there. But I don't think we're going to have to worry about what we're going to do. No. I think if we've got a concern, it's whether or not we're going to be there. Amen. I mean, we've been told enough about the glory of God and His kindness to us and His fixing for us that heaven will be enough. And if you think you've got a mind that is so great and so wonderful that God can't fill it, you're already in a big problem. Yeah. And so we come to adore Him this day. Amen. Two things I want to talk to you about this morning as we prepare to pray. And those things that God says about Himself or about anything else are always subject matter for our prayers. And because we seek Him on His terms, not ours. Yeah. And we don't seek Him because He needs us. Yeah. We seek Him because we need Him. Yeah. And that need has been raised up in us. That's part of that regeneration. Yeah. And we know we need Him. And we looked there at Hebrews 13 this morning. God will never leave us or forsake us. Be content with what you have, because contentment with godliness is great gain. And that's all through the scriptures. I mean, that's did God give Adam and Eve any need at all when He fitted them out and put them busily at work in the garden?
No.
They didn't need anything? Guess what? We don't either. Mm-hmm. Except that one thing, that we know Him. And I believe I'm drawing flies. I must be an artist. I must be an artist. Yeah. But anyway, I'll kill that sucker if he lights.
Hey.
Yeah, I may throw it. Anyway, we don't need anything. There's some things we desire that may not be right. And there he is again. Man, the last time I'm taking a bath before I come to church. But righteousness is one of those things that we need that God has provided. It's amazing that God has never required of His people anything He hadn't given them.
That's true.
And there He is. And I'm going to ask Him to kill that fly. Lord, take the poor thing home. And righteousness is the one of the things we need more than we can really understand. Because
it's a flying insect, can I spray him away from you?
Yeah, go ahead.
Shoot. I don't know.
Just a shot. Just a shot.
Oh, no,
kind of
got it.
That's all right. It'll be fine.
This stuff is potent.
I tell you what, if he's on the horse's back, I know what to do with him. All right, good.
Just in case.
Righteousness is something you're going to have, or you're not going to see God. The writer of Hebrews puts it a little bit differently than that. He says, without holiness, no man shall see God. Holiness is a state. Righteousness is a state too, but it's the totality of your being. I mean, it's just, as God is holy, we're to be holy. As God is righteous, we're to be holy. We're to have any fellowship with Him at all. It's based upon us being righteous before Him. But that righteousness is imputed to us. In other words, it is accounted to us. It is given to us on the basis of the righteousness of another. And that one, is the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want us to be reminded of that this morning, and then I want us to talk about the relationship that comes from that. We have a special relationship to God that comes when He makes us righteous as He is righteous, and He gives us that which is gained only by the bloodletting of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, if you will, take your Bibles and let's go to Romans chapter 3. Unless I wrote down the wrong verse, and I'm looking at it now thinking I may have. And let's look at verse 20. No, I think that'll do. Verse 20, and let's read three verses together here, dealing with this idea of righteousness that God has given. Paul says, "Therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight." Now, we know that. So that takes care of the law right there. And then he goes on to say, "For by the law is the knowledge of sin." Is the law without purpose? No, it's not without purpose. I can tell you, you won't know you're a sinner unless God comes and brings to you an understanding of His law. Mm-hmm. Now that's a gift too, isn't it?
Yes, amen.
It all comes in that one moment of regeneration.
Amen. Yeah.
When He takes you from death into life. And then the very next moment when you're in life, you start doing what He wants you to do. And it is not if we trust and obey. It is as we trust and obey. That's righteousness, not only being possessed, but also being acted upon and acted out in the life of God's people. He goes on to say, again, let me read, "For by the law is the knowledge of sin," and then verse 21, "but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets." They told about the coming of the Lord. Isaiah 53 is just as clear as a bell. And you can't read a psalm without seeing the life and the ministry and the sacrifice and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, most of those psalms David wrote was really about Jesus. "Even the righteousness of God," verse 22, "which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference." Now this is very, very important. He's talking about the righteousness of God, God's own righteousness. As God is righteous, He makes us to be righteous. "Which is by faith of Jesus Christ."
Yes.
It's the Lord's faith that is given to us. I mean, everything you need, He gives it to you.
Yeah.
"And then, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference." Now, he's talking about all without distinction rather than all without exception.
Yeah.
But all of God's people are going to believe.
Yeah.
In fact, He saves you to believe. "He that believeth in me hath everlasting life." He doesn't believe so he can get that life. He believes because he's already been given that life.
Yes.
And that righteousness gives us a good standing before God. It's by the faith of Jesus that it comes. And there is no difference between one child of God or another. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in His sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. We might change the word there too. Jesus loves His little children of the world. Oh, but you don't want to leave anybody out. You ain't doing nothing. That's the point. You can't and you won't and so on and so forth. That's the point. Jesus says, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And then He says, "As you mete out, so it shall be meted out to you." In other words, as you hear, more will be given. You'll be given even more.
That's right.
But that's God's work.
Yes, it is.
In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, We also have some very sound words and wonderful words. I mean, they're the words you can get lost in the midst of the wonder of those things. Just like Romans 3, there's 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, it says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature." There's regeneration. There's the new, being born again. Some translations say new creation. He is the effective work of an all-powerful, all-righteous, all-holy, all-gracious, all-merciful, all-glorious God. He's God's work. We are His workmanship, right?
Amen.
Created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which He has ordained, that we should walk in them. And when did He do that?
Before
the foundation of the world. That's right. Now we're talking about righteousness here, but it comes from being made a new creature. He says, old things there in verse 17 are passed away. Behold, all things are become new, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Then you know, you can read the rest of the chapter for yourself. But the point is, this is righteousness. The righteousness of God. Verse 21 here in the same chapter says, "For He made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin." Now listen to this. "That we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." In the beginning, what did God do? He created the heavens and the earth. And something like that creation happens every time He brings a child of God out of darkness and takes the death away and gives him life and makes him, as far as righteousness is concerned, in the same standing of His Son. Mm-hmm. That we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. The apostle in Galatians chapter 3 carries this theme right along when he mentions the curse. Galatians chapter 3, verses 11 and 12, unless I want to read further. He says, well, I think I'll back up one. "For as many," this is 3:10 of Galatians, "for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is every one that continues not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them." That gets us all, don't it? We are cursed. In sin, our mothers conceived us. We come forth from the womb speaking what?
Love.
Yeah. There's none good. How many? No, not one. But, verse 11, "that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for," he says in the Old Testament, in Habakkuk, "the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them." That's the only hope he's got. And that ain't much. That's right, less than nothing. Because, you know, I had to, one time we were talking in an evangelism class we used to have at one of the old churches, and we were talking about the sin of man, the depravity of man. And we were talking about that, you know, we've all sinned. And one guy said, yeah, one sin made us bad, and we had to back up just one further step.
Yeah.
You're almost there. We just got to get right on the back one more step. You sin that first sin, and the next one, and the third, and the fourth one, all you have, because you are a sinner.
Right.
The sin comes as a fruit of the tree, and the tree is the sinner.
Right.
I'm not going to hell because I've sinned. I'm going to hell because I'm a sinner, unless God saves me. Unless God saves me. So the curse, Cursed is everyone that continues in those things. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. The just shall live by faith. Now, shall is not with a question mark. It's with an exclamation point. Yeah. It's a sure thing. The just will, they shall live by faith. And if you're not doing that, you're not alive. It's not something you do to get alive. It's something you do because you're alive. Again, we are righteous people because God has made us righteous in Himself. What a thing. Little wonder. Paul says all that he does about the greatness and the glory and the marvel of the will and the counsel of God there in those last two or three verses of chapter 11 in Romans. It is unthinkable. Nobody could come up with this.
No.
Because most people don't believe it's necessary.
Right.
Even an Arminian. They believe that we have within us naturally, as those who are yet lost in our sins, the ability to change our own minds. That doesn't happen when your mind has been blinded by the god of this world. You just don't have it. What a wonderful thing it is to be righteous. What a wonderful thing it is to be righteous. Because listen, you don't have it. You don't have Christ. I'm going to leave him alone, I think. I may not. Y'all hang on.
He was on my Bible.
I don't know where he went then.
He looked like he was on the corner of that desk. He's not there anymore.
All right, let's. Enough of the fly, huh?
No.
And then look at verse 13. Galatians 3, 13. God hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree. Really, we could say the opposite, at least in our discussion today, of righteousness is the curse, right? And God has redeemed us.
Yeah.
And it's from Christ. It's only from Christ. Now, I'm not telling you anything you don't know, but it's a wonder to me to go through these things again.
Yeah. Amen.
It's fresh. Just as fresh as the next breath. And a whole lot more important. 1 Corinthians 1. In beginning of verse 29, it says some more things about how this righteousness is fleshed out in our lives. Verse 29, Paul says that no flesh should glory in His presence. Verse 30, but of Him are ye in Christ. No wonder I can't glory in my flesh. Because it's in Him. Are we in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us what? Wisdom. What a good thing. The wise man builds his house on the rock, right?
Yes, sir.
And when all the troubles of life come, he's sustained and he enters into the kingdom. But the foolish man builds his house on the sand. And when the storms of life come, they wash him off into the pit of hell.
Yeah.
And righteousness, now that's what we're talking about here. Sanctification and redemption. In many ways, all of these words are synonyms, and we know that they are at least aspects of that great work of salvation.
Yeah.
Wisdom, righteousness, and redemption. That according as it is written, verse 31, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Now that's really the purpose of this righteousness. That we not only have a relationship with Him, but we recognize and we're glad for it that it is of God alone that we have life.
Yes.
And life eternal.
Right.
He that glories, let him glory in the Lord. You can do that all day long. Every day. And I hear people talking about this. Well, we're going to go into this city and do this. and that. When we get there, we're going to do this kind of work or that kind of work, and we're going to make this profit and so on and so forth. Here at all time. Yeah, going to save the city. And education, real big on that. Making our plans and setting our goals. Yeah. That is so stupid. That is so stupid.
Best plans are mice and
men. Well, it's worse than that. These are idiots. They're profane.
Yeah.
They're reprobate.
Yeah.
They don't even know God. And we have them in our own families. And you can talk to them till you're blue in the face. And I'm not saying you shouldn't. But you know, if I go out to these horses and I look at them and I start working with them and I start talking to them, I really don't expect them to understand what I'm saying with my mouth. But I do what I expect them to understand what I say with my hands and with those spurs that are around the heel of my boots. And we've got people out here that are really dumber than animals. And they don't want it. They don't want it. Mr. Burris, don't you talk that way? I can tell you, I bet when you get horse bucks you off or kicks you or you hit your thumb with a hammer, you've got all kinds of words you say that you wouldn't want anybody else to hear you say. And I said, well, you know, I've said a few words I'm very ashamed of, but that is not the character of my life.
Amen.
Yeah. Well, what do you think about Mr. Burris? I said, well, first of all, ain't none of your business, but, you know, I try to keep my mind on God. Ah, you don't do that, do you? I said, hey, I don't have to prove anything to you. I said, but you'd be well served if that's what you did. I love people, but I know why they're like they are. Isn't that something?
Yeah.
Isn't that something to be able to know why they're like they are? People say, I just feel sorry for folks like that. Well, maybe if you do, and that makes you feel better, go ahead. But if God's not going to change them, what business is it of mine,
yeah,
to try to change them? I'm just going to tell them what is true. Well, they just need to be prayed for. If they're the children of God, God cares more about them than just letting them go to hell because I don't pray for them. No. We got it backwards. Every good gift comes from God. We've already mentioned that this morning. And righteousness. What they're going to have in this world and in the world to come is from Him.
Amen.
On the basis of the Lord Jesus Christ and on the basis of nobody else. Well, you know, so-and-so is a good person and they just deserve a chance. Let's don't go where they, with that whole thing about who deserves what and when.
Right.
You don't want to know what you deserve. If you're talking that way, I could tell you and you wouldn't receive it anyway. But I'm just telling you, I know what we all deserve. And then in Titus chapter 3, verses 4 through 7. Titus chapter 3, verses 4 through 7, Paul dealing with this young pastor and along with Timothy and some other things, trying to get them to do what they need to do, and they're going to do it. Because we've already talked about God's people do hear the voice of God and they follow Him. But in Titus 3 verse 4, this whole idea continues where he says, but after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward men appeared. That's Jesus and the work. His work. After He appeared. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. Whose righteousness do we want? Our own?
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever heard of things called self-righteousness?
Yeah.
Boy, we give ourselves all kinds of breaks when it comes to that.
Yeah, absolutely. No kidding.
You're talking about thinking more highly of yourself than you ought to think.
Right.
If you even think of those terms, you done crossed the veil. by the washing of regeneration. That's how it happened. No works. You can't do them. But according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration. You know, the water and the Word. That's really the regeneration in the Word. You got to be born of water and of the Spirit. Generation. You got to be regenerated. You got to be cranked up. You've got to be revived. And I'm not talking about, you know, getting a new spirit and going down the aisle and rededicating your life. I'm talking about that life in Christ. It comes. It makes us alive in Him. We're talking about the regenerating work and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. And this renewing is something else too. Renewing means that the old man's passed on. And the new man's come along by divine appointment. In verse 6 he says, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Lord, that being justified by grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His works of righteousness, which are given to us there in verse 5. According to His work of righteousness, which He makes clear here in verse 6. And according to His work of righteousness, which He sets before us by the word justified and by the words by His grace. Justified. Now I'm justified. Not on account of me. Grace and mercy.
Yeah.
On the account of another who stood in my place. You know, as I was reading these verses, I was reminded of what those blood sacrifices represented. And they got so important to the people, as we read through the scriptures, that they forgot that they were a type, a shadow, a sign of something else that was coming. I mean, they forgot about Isaiah 53. And so they thought, well, you know, we'll just keep killing these animals and we'll be okay. And they missed the point. No matter what God does for you, you're going to miss the point unless He Himself, for the sake of His Son, by the power of His Spirit, makes that point to you.
It's true.
I mean, we get over here to the Galatians and all of a sudden they're going back in darkness. That's what the writer of Hebrews was writing. All those things about. They were going back. They were slipping. The righteousness that we need is from Jesus. And it's by His faith. He exercised faith. He exercised it when He came and was conceived. He exercised it when He grew up and He lived. He exercised it as He ministered as a man to those multitudes. He exercised it all day long, every day. It's that faith that we need. And glory of glories, wonder of wonder, love of all love, God gives us that when He saves us. Now, it's ours to exercise it the rest of our days and whatever the Scripture tells us to be and tells us to do as we trust and obey. This is amazing. Very quickly, Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 and 9, same theme. Paul seems to be able to take the same theme and just, like a diamond, turn it from one way to the next. Yeah. Philippians 3, verses 7 through 9, we read these words. But what things were gained to me, those I count loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. In other words, the things that were important to him at one time, they're gone. And they've been lost. But he's glad.
Yeah.
He ain't looking for them no more. And now what he's gained in the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, he glories in that. And then he says in verse 9, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ, verse 9, and be found in him. That's where we want to be. That's where we want to be found in him. We open these things up. Lord, help me to be found in you every day. There's a prayer request. You got a prayer request? There you go, right there. Cause me to be found in you every day in every way. He says, to be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, and that'll send me straight to the pit, but that which is through the faith of Christ. Again, the faith of Christ. The righteousness which is of God by faith. It ain't what I do. It ain't what I possess. It's who I am in Christ that makes all the difference in the world. And what I used to be, I'm not anymore, because those things are loss.
Yeah.
And what I am now in the Lord Jesus Christ, they have eternal value. They are the excellency of Christ Jesus himself. Now that's the righteousness. When we come to God, we come on the righteousness of another, and then at the same time, it is our righteousness. And what kind of relationship, therefore, does it give to us? Well, now God is no longer just our Creator. He's no longer the one to whom we have to, with whom we have to do in the time we're living in now and the one that is yet to come. But He is our Father. He is our Father. I heard somebody say the other day, well, we're all the people of God. God is our Father of all of us. I said, well, you probably think I don't ever have a word that's positive to you, but let me just tell you something. He's not your Father without Jesus.
Right.
He's your Creator. He is God. He is your Judge. He is your Provider. He gives good things to all men.
Yeah.
But He's not your Father. And when you see Him, He's going to judge you. And He's going to say, depart from me. I never knew you. How can omniscience not know you? But God can do anything.
Amen.
He doesn't know you after His saving grace. He didn't know you before the foundation of the world. He didn't predestine you. He didn't call you. He didn't justify you. He has not glorified you. He doesn't know you. And then He's going to say, depart from me. But to us who have been given the righteousness of Christ and have enjoined God by the faith of Christ, who have been made alive by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, He is our Father.
Amen.
He is our Father. And when He sees us, He doesn't see this old sinful glump of garbage.
Amen.
This alien. This defiant, disobedient, reprobate, if you will. He doesn't see that. That's all gone.
Yeah.
We're in Jesus. And we can glory in Him. Going back to Romans chapter 8. Well, I'll tell you what I'm just going to do. I don't want to go through any further. We're about time. We need to pray. But let me just make this point. In John 17, 1, 11, and 25, The Lord addressed God as Abba, Father. In Romans 8, we call him Abba, Father. And we become a joint heir with who? Jesus. In Mark 14, 36 in the garden, he said, Abba, Father. And in these things, we're all like Jesus. The word Abba is translated different ways. Defined different ways. But I think the best one can be is he is your Father in the most intimate way. I've heard people use the word daddy. And I just want to say that's not it. I'm talking about the most intimate relationship you can ever have with a man as your father. Is almost descriptive of what they're talking about here. Jesus went into that garden and he prayed, if this cup can pass from me, then your will be done, not mine. And when he introduced that prayer, he said, Abba, Father. Now that's what we have. That's what we have. In this righteousness that is ours, we have that same relationship with God. Abba, Father. Now sometimes, and I think we mentioned it this morning, near or far away, it seems like God has really just kind of left us. He hadn't. He may have withdrawn whatever felt presence we might have known at one time or another, but he hasn't left us. He knows exactly where we are, what we're doing, and sometimes that's the problem, isn't it?
Yeah.
But most not even then it's a problem, because then he can correct us.
Yes.
He knows it all. And then he can comfort us. He knows it all. What did he tell Abraham? I am your exceeding great
reward.
Yeah. And that's what he is to us.
Amen.
And we can go to him with anything. We can go. And I read about David going to God all through the Psalms, and he will break forth in complaint. He will complain, but with great respect.
Yeah. Yeah.
He will file his complaints with great deference to God. Why? Because it's the Holy Spirit in him that are bringing those things about. But in Abba, Father, we have that very special relationship. And I think that's a cheap way to put it, but just let me say that. That very special relationship that makes it so different from anything else we know. We can't even begin to describe it.
Mm-hmm.
You can't get any closer to God, dear ones, than we are right now.
Amen. Amen.
Oh boy, we'll be up there in heaven one day and just be with God all the time. Well, that won't be much different than now, will it?
Right.
I can tell you, we make it from day to day only because God is with us. He will never leave us or forsake us. And I looked in the mirror the other day and I said, I'm sure glad he talks about gray hair too. He'll be with us in the days of the gray head. It is a good thing. Well, I had a lot more to say, but I think we just need to pray. The righteousness of God and then the relationship that comes from it. I guess we could sum it up this way. God is ours because we are His. And we will reflect that image too. And where we don't, we need to cry out, Abba, Father. Well, let's pray. Take these two things, the righteousness of God, the relationship with God, the things that JT brought to us this morning out of Hebrews and related chapters. Those things ought to be on our minds as we pray. And prayer is more about getting close to God than it is anything else. So God help us as we pray. Our Father, we thank you for the day. We thank you for the mercies that have brought us here. We thank you that For the most part, the things we've heard today have not been brand new to us, but they have been the stock of nourishment that has caused us to look to you and grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And Lord, we pray that we might know your strength, we'd be strong in you and in the power of your might, that we'd find ourselves only looking to you for all that we need here and in the world to come. And we thank you, Lord, that there's so many things that you have already shown us that are beyond our ability to comprehend apart from the wisdom of your Spirit. And we pray, Father, that we would know you just exactly the way you want us to know you. That you would send your Spirit in such a manner, in such a measure, that we would not fail to draw near to you as we ought on a day-by-day basis, a moment-by-moment. That, Lord, we would count everything that is about us, the will of God, as you press it in upon our hearts, and we would take it up gladly, whether it be difficulty and hardship, or whether it be the joys of just the eternal being with you. We beg you, Lord, that we would use these things to the glory of your name. And all the grace you've given us, Lord, the way that you have dealt with us, the fruit of the Spirit and the laying down of the flesh, Lord, we thank you for all of that. But more than anything else, we thank you for the righteousness that is ours. It's been bought by another, provided by divine appointment and provision, but it is ours now. We thank you for the inheritance that is ours, that we are the brethren of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that you are the one we call Abba, and we bless you for that. We thank you that we can be confident of everything you tell us and all that you show us, that you are God and beside you there is no other. You are our hope. We confess right now, Lord, without you we have nothing. But we seek all that you would have us to receive. We pray that we could take it all in and keep it. And even as has been prayed, we pray that you'd give us good minds that we might remember. That you'd transform us in the renewing of our minds. That we may prove what the will of God is. That it's good and acceptable and perfect. We ask you, Father, that you'd not leave us to anything that would cause us to turn away from you. We beg you, Lord, keep us according to your promise. Now, as we enter into the rest of the day, we pray for your strength once again to do those things you want us to do. And Lord, we pray for those that we love and that are lost and undone. We pray that you would deal with them. Lord, we don't know whether they are of the elect of God or not. We don't know where they're going to stand in the world to come, but you do. And we would pray now, Lord, that you would make them willing in the day of your power. That they would be faithful to come to you. That they would be given ears to hear and eyes to see. That they would mete out, Lord, in that hearing, their lives to receive all that you would have for them. And then, Lord, you'd even give them more. And you'd remind them that those who don't have, even what they have will be taken from them. We plead with you, Father. Deal with them. And more than anything else, glorify yourself. And may we hear from the words that you gave the Savior when he said, Father, glorify your Son. And he said, you said you've already done it. You have glorified yourself, and you will continue to glorify yourself. So we long for that. Just give us the will, the ability to know when it happens, that we might be lifted up and that we might be encouraged by you. Thank you for these things. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Number 189. Brother did ask me to open the services yesterday morning by reading the scripture. And so I turned to the 46th Psalm and read the 46th Psalm. I hope that has been a blessing. It is a blessing to you as much as it has been to me. And I believe it was a blessing to the folks down there. And we've been talking here this morning, reading these scriptures about the faith of Jesus. And faith, in one place it says the faith of Jesus, and the other place it says just faith of Jesus. No "the" in there. Every word of the scripture is important. Isn't it amazing that God does not make the least error? I mean, when he says "a," he means "a." When he says "thee," means "thee." When he leaves those out, he intends to leave them out. It's one of the things that after one of the messages yesterday, Brother Pete was quoting out of Hebrews 7:25. He is able to save to the uttermost all of them that can't come to him, but he quoted it as through Jesus. And that's not what it says. And I don't know, I hope it was the Spirit of God moving me to do it, but I corrected him on that. It's not through Jesus, it is by Jesus. And I believe it's an important word. I later apologized to him for correcting him, but he acknowledged, he said it needed to be corrected. And I was glad that he made that acknowledgement. But every word is important, and we need to realize that. I need to realize it and be careful that we say what God says, not what we say. All right, number 189, no, not despairingly. I pray and I trust that we have prayed today, that we have worshiped today, not despairingly. All the promises of God in Christ Jesus are amen. Yea and amen. That's not despairingly.